हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे All right, so now then it's been brought up again somehow after Draupadi's success or being victorious against Dushasana by Krishna's mercy, that he supplied unlimited cloth. So then that changed the mood that was there, because they could see there's the divine hand at work here. And so there's something more going on than just Duryodhana and his little gang having the best time of their life at the expense of everybody else. So then it's brought out that you have to say something. Vidura made that. He gave the story of Prahlad Maharaj and about how his son and the Sangha Angirasa had an argument, and then being asked who is correct, who is superior. He didn't answer. He asked Kasyapa. He said, no, if you don't, then there's great punishment. And so therefore, the point is when in an assembly of kings, someone comes forward and asks for the truth. If someone knows it and doesn't give it, then they're great punishment for them. So again, there's silence. Even though he said all this and everybody knows, Dhritarashtra's not saying anything. And so then Karna then says to Draupadi to the inner apartments, dragged her by the hair, standard stuff. Dushasana again grabbed Draupadi's hair, right? You mean so you could just usher her. Everybody else, you just say, come like this. Like that. Like the Pratikaman came in to come say and brought her like that. He didn't drag her by the hair. He said He again grabbed Draupadi's hair and began to drag the helpless princess, who was trembling and crying piteously to her husbands. Pulling herself free from his grasp, he addressed the assembly in tearful words. Wait a little, worst of men. I have not as yet offered my respects to my superiors. Forgive me. It was not my fault as this low wretch, this disgrace of the Kurus, forcibly dragged me here. The morality of the Kuru house has now been lost forever today. Because after this day, there will be no Kuru house. That's it. It's just, this line is gone. So only coming down to, Arjuna, then his grandson. That'll be the only one left in the whole line. But anyone from this side of the line just evaporates. Manu says, branch and root, everything gone. So if the branch and the root are gone, that means all the leaves, flowers, everything, so any glory is gone. Never before have we heard of a married woman being brought in this state before an assembly. She's married. It's not up to anybody else to decide, she's married five men, so therefore we can deal with her however you like. No, that's, you don't have that. We've never heard about it. She who was never before seen even by the wind or sun has now been exposed before all men. Indeed, I am being publicly persecuted by wicked men. Right. Dhritarashtra listened with his head bowed as she went on. What could be more distressing for me than that? Although I am a high-born and chaste, the Pandava's wife and Krishna's friend, right, so all these good qualities, I am nevertheless dragged into this assembly. Where is the religion of all these kings? O Kauravas, answer me truthfully. Am I, Dharmaraja's lawful wife, born in the same order to which he belongs, to be considered a servant woman or not? Right, because she's in the same as him. So whatever he is, that's what she is. Not that she's separate, I shall be obedient to your command, O Kurus. This despicable destroyer of Kuru's frame is cruelly dragging me. I cannot tolerate it any longer. Tell me what I should do, and I will happily obey you. Right? Because if they said, no, you're a servant, then she would have gone. She would have performed the duties. Bhishma shed tears as Draupadi spoke. He looked at her with compassion and said, Blessed lady, I have said that the ways of religion are subtle. Even wise men find it hard to understand them. Sometimes what a great and powerful man calls religion is accepted as such, even though it may not normally be so. What a weak man says, no matter how moral it may seem, is generally disregarded, right? In other words, you know, Karna is saying stuff and people are going with it as it is. But someone like Vikarna is not as strong and they're disregarding it, right? From the importance of the matter you have raised, its intricacy and subtlety, I find myself unable to answer you. Bhishma stopped and looked around at the silent assembly, right? So he's not saying out of anything else. So he's just saying, I don't know. Bhishma stopped and looked around at the silent assembly. Turning back to Draupadi, he continued, it is certain that the Kurus have become slaves of greed and folly. Our race will soon be destroyed. O Panchali, that even under today's circumstances, you would turn to religion shows how worthy you are and adds glory to our house. Means the only glory left in this house is her and her husband's. That's it. There is nothing else in the house. Your husbands are equally praiseworthy because they're following Dharma. Because by king's things, just in other words, if the Pandavas at one point just said this is enough and got up and just started fighting and killing, no one would blame them, right? Because that's just, you know, passion, they would do that. But that they didn't, they followed Dharma, then actually if you looked at it, they're very glorious, while no one else is glorious. They do not deviate from virtue in such difficulty. The Kauravas, however, sit with downcast faces. They look as if they are dead. I do not think they are going to answer you. You should ask your question of Yudhishthira. He alone should say whether or not you have been won. Draupadi wept like it. So in one sense, yes, he's the most, he understands Dharma the best and all that. But at the same time is that he's gone through this and just, it's not very nice to put it back on him. But here, and what he's saying is that he doesn't know. And so he's actually deferring to Yudhishthira, that Yudhishthira has more of an understanding of Dharma. Right? You know, because technically speaking, then Bhishmadev being a Mahajana, he knows pure devotional service. And he knows this is not. And so the intricacies of nonsense, he's not so sure about. He just knows it's all nonsense and that. You know, so he defers to Yudhishthira, who's known for his religion. Still the kings remained silent. They appeared to be afraid of Duryodhana's power. The Kaurava prince continued to smile, even after hearing Bhishma's words. Right? Rising, he said to Draupadi, O Panchali, I agree with Bhishma. The answer to your question depends on your husband. Now, see, Bhishma said it out of actually, I don't know, I can't understand. You know, I'm the senior most here, but there, Yudhishthira has more knowledge of Dharma than I do. So he was actually out of humility and out of respect saying it. And so in that way, he's elevating Yudhishthira and the Pandavas and Draupadi up higher than any of the Kurus sitting there, who are there, because none of them can answer, don't know what it can say. You know, but we see now Duryodhana is seeing it, oh, to take advantage. Now, in this distressed condition, now Yudhishthira has to speak. You know, so it's one thing is that, you know, something's going to go wrong, but then they make you do the wrong. The bad people make you do the wrong and then blame it on you when it's all their fault. You know, so it's just another way. Let the illustrious Yudhishthira resemble Indra himself and ever devoted to virtue, state whether or not he acted rightly. Right? Even though in the beginning he tried to say this is all wrong and don't do it, they didn't care about his dharma then. Right? And then somebody now it's, oh yes, did he behave badly? What about everybody else? If he declares himself to have gambled you away falsely because he was no longer your lord at the time, I shall free you. I will also free his brothers if he makes the same declaration about them. Let Yudhishthira tell us first, right, because about them, but he hadn't gambled himself first, he gambled the others, so that wouldn't happen. The only question is about Draupadi. But he's just trying to mix things up and just, you know. Let Yudhishthira tell us at first, however, that he lost his discrimination. Right? They force the issue, and then when it goes wrong, then they blame him. This is the demons. They come, and then they tell you, okay, you know, if you either do this or I'm going to punch this guy in the head. And if you refuse to do it because it's a wrong thing, and they punch the guy who says, it's your fault, you got punched. Straight, this is just demon 101. It's just the way they think. Anything goes wrong, they're never at fault. It's all your fault. After Yudhishthira has spoken, beautiful lady, then you should accept either us or the Pandavas as your lords. All the Kurus here are floating in the ocean of your affliction. They are naturally magnanimous, right? Yeah, right. Therefore, looking at your unfortunate husbands, they are unable to answer your question. Right? So he's trying to say why they haven't answered. All these things like this. So here we can see this is the origin of political correctness. They just spin doctor anything and try to make it into what they're doing. So even though it's considered like a modern thing, political, this is old, as you see Duryodhana uses this. In other words, political correctness is used by those who aren't correct and try to establish their position as correct. Again, the assembly erupted. Many kings applauded Duryodhana's words. Other cried out, alas, alas. So some say, yes, he spoke nicely. He used nice words and a nice presentation if it was true. And others, they alas, and they just they understand now. Bhishma tried to turn it around, Vidura tried to turn it around, bring it to a proper, mood of the court, and now Duryodhana has just destroyed it again. But each now turned to look at Yudhishthira, eager to hear what he would reply. As the hum of voices gradually died down, Bhima stood suddenly. His voice filled the hall. The high-souled Dharmaraj were not our lord and guru, then we would not pardon the Kuru race. Right? It should be actually understood why they're quiet. They're thinking, oh, we're so powerful, we've controlled them. No, it's only because of everybody's respect. So that means the Pandava brothers have respected Yudhishthira, Draupadi's respected Yudhishthira, Bhishma, the senior most of anybody sitting there. I mean, lock, stock, and barrel. He's respecting Yudhishthira like that. But he is the lord of all our religious and ascetic merits. Indeed, he is the lord of our lives. If he considers us one, then we are one. If we were not, so then who is there among mortal creatures on this earth who could escape with their life after touching the hair of the Panchali princes? So he's pointing out, unless they were considered one, why they touched the hair, he would have been killed immediately. He walked by them. Bhima could have just, they'll walk close. He could have just, in one jump, been on Dushasana and ripped out his throat. They would have killed him on the spot. But it's because of Yudhishthira, like that. Look at my two arms. They are maces of steel. Having come within their grasp, who could escape? I mean, Dushasana has technically been defeated by Draupadi. He couldn't pull off her clothes. And he had to sat down in exhaustion. And still he boasts like he's so great and now he's going to take the princess. Not even Indra himself, which is true. Indra was defeated by Arjuna. Bound by the ties of virtue and by the reverence due to our elder brother. He said due to, right? And because I'm being repeatedly urged by Arjuna to remain silent, because Arjuna's trying to keep because he's a bit more passionate, right? I do nothing. But if once commanded by Yudhishthira, by means of my slaps alone, I would kill Dhritarashtra's sinful sons as a lion kills a flock of small animals. Because a lot has to do with how angry they are. If there's two Kshatriyas and one's more angry, there's more likely he's going to win. Because he has that more energy and all that. So Bhima is so angry, so before sparks are coming out and fire is coming out of his ears and eyes and everything. And Duryodhana is just having a good time, so he's like an idiot kid. Literally, when we say, one slap, he's gone. Like that. I would kill Dhritarashtra's sinful sons as a lion kills a flock of small animals. Hearing Bhima speak, Bhishma, Drona, and Vidura said with alarm, be peaceful, O Bhima. All things are possible for you. Be peaceful, because they know he could do it. Because the point is it could happen right now. And that's it. And then it's all, So they're trying to keep all this from happening. So now that you can see how nice they are, even though these people are so evil, they're still trying to work things out that it could be balanced and proper and everybody could go on and live peacefully. Because the point is if the monarchy is running peacefully, then the people prosper. So they want they want to see the populace prosper. Duryodhana just wants to see himself prosper. And whoever's his friends, that's all right. And anybody else, he really couldn't care less. Karna then jumped up from his seat. It seems that Vidura, Bhishma, and Drona are independent, right? So if they say anything that supports anything else other than what they want, now they're independent. And then before that, then he's saying, well, they're here, they can speak and all that. And then at the same time, oh, now they're independent. Right? Yeah. He exclaimed, his red face with anger. That's why the Pandavas consider him a son of Asuta. Because his character is not that of a Kshatriya. It's just not. But because he is acting in the position of a Kshatriya and has been respected and made a king, they will fight with him on the battlefield as a Kshatriya. But as far as his character goes, they don't consider him a Kshatriya. He's a Suti's son. That's the difficulty. You know, of course, it's by bad association, but in any case, he's acting that way. Even if he's not, he's acting that way. They always censure their master and never wish for his prosperity. They were just saying, your whole dynasty is going to be destroyed. They just told Bhima to be peaceful. That wasn't for Duryodhana's benefit. Yeah. I shall say what is right in this case. The slave, the son, and the wife are always dependent. Right? So slave, the son, and the wife are always dependent. Whatever they possess belong to their master. Draupadi, you are the wife of a slave who is now incapable of possessing anything of his own. Go then to the king's inner quarters and serve his relatives. But at point it says here, that it says the slave, the son, and the wife are always dependent. But what he's missing here is the wife is dependent on a slave. So even if she's a slave's wife, she's connected to that slave. You can't separate her off. So he's saying one thing and then only taking part of it. So that's the thing. He's using dharma just for his own purpose. Go to the king's inner quarters and serve his relatives. Select another husband who will not lose you at gambling. Right? They force the whole thing and then complain. And then why? Why would she connect herself with any of these people? These guys are animals. You know, but they're thinking, oh, they'll accept me. Oh, why would they do that? Your husbands are all slaves and cannot be your masters any longer. Yeah, they can't be the masters, but their wife is with them. They may not be the masters of others, but wife goes with the husband, the other half of the body. So it's just, you know, it's just... Obviously, Yudhishthira considers that life and manhood are useless, as he has offered Draupadi's daughter as a stake in the presence of this assembly. So whatever he says is just poison. It's just poison. They're just so envious, that's all. Bhima glowered at Karna. Breathing heavily, it seemed he was about to leap forward at any moment. Still, he remained obedient to Yudhishthira, because if Arjuna hadn't, he probably before would have. Right? Bound by virtue, he did nothing. And then they take it, oh, he's weak. When actually, to act according to morality, when everybody else is being immoral, that takes great strength. So he's stronger than anybody in the room at this point. Like that. Looking around as if to burn everything with his blazing eyes, he turns to Yudhishthira and said, my lord, I cannot become angry at the words of the Suta's son, since we are now slaves. Right? Still, he called him the Suta's son in the assembly. O king, could our enemies ever have spoken in this way in my presence if you had not staked the princess? Right? Because if they had not, you know, they could only push it so much. But as soon as you get ladies involved, then everybody can become extremely nasty. If it was just them together, then that's all. Yudhishthira sat silently, seemingly stunned. Duryodhana laughed and said, come on, O king, tell us the truth. Is Draupadi one or not? He's just, you know, poking. Reveling in his cousin's anguish, Duryodhana smiled at Karna to further insult and incite Bhima, which is so dangerous, right? The Kaurava prince then uncovered his right thigh, which resembled the trunk of an elephant, and showed it to Draupadi. Sit here upon the lap of your new lord. O princess, what have you to do with the Pandavas now? Like that. This is, you would, it means you would never do this in front of anybody, let alone a whole assembly of kings, someone else's wife, their husbands right there. They're so confident. See, they're so confident that they'll follow Dharma that they won't kill them. So that in one sense means they respect them like that. But we see the demons know. It's mentioned in the, I think in the Nectar Devotion, that the demons in the lower planets sleep peacefully at night because they know if they do nothing wrong, Krishna won't come and kill them. It's not that they like Krishna, but they just have that faith. So in the same way, he has the faith in the morality of these devotees, but at the same time, he takes, you know, 1,000% advantage of it, right? Bhima could take no more, because he did it to incite Bhima. He exploded, "Hear this, you wretch. If I do not break that thigh in battle, then let me not attain the regions of my ancestors." So that's the same. He's going to drink Dushasana's blood, kill him, rip out his heart, drink his blood. He's going to break his thighs in battle. And you're not supposed to break thighs in battle. Club fighting is always supposed to be above the waist. Fire emanated from every part of Bhima's body as he spoke, and his heavy chest rose and fell like the ocean. Now these have been spoken by kings. These aren't going to go back. It's not that he can take them back. He's going to do these things. So already, that's two of Duryodhana's sons dead. The whole idea was to make them prosperous. Vidura jumped up and addressed the assembly. "O kings, observe the danger we are now in from Bhima. A calamity threatens to overtake our race. This has been sent by destiny. Dhritarashtra's sons have gambled deceitfully. Now they quarrel over a woman. This kingdom's prosperity is at an end. Alas." Means he's not saying it's coming to an end or it's been, he just says it's at an end, just like Draupadi said, it's forever lost. Like that. Okay. Gurus have given away to iniquity. This entire assembly is now polluted with sin. Everybody's sitting there. "O kings, take heart the precept I shall declare. Having first lost himself, Yudhishthira was unable to lose Panchali. She cannot be considered a slave." Right? He's just, he's right. So he's pointing out, because they'll also point out that he's, you know, who is he to speak in the assembly of kings? If he's asked, then he can say something, but he's not been asked, so by Dhritarashtra. So he's just speaking like that. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.